Five, four, three, two. With Nick, September 5th, 2015, News with Nick episode. We are here on a Saturday morning. It's 9:07 a.m., meant to start at 9:00 a.m. Let me start my timer so that we can know how long we've been going, even though I could just look at a clock and go, oh, I started at 9:07 a.m., like I said, and now it's 10:07 a.m., so we can leave and be done with this stupid show. Just kidding. It's my favorite thing to do. All right, let's see who's in the stream. Nobody. Let's see who's in the chat. Nobody. Okay, cool. Guys, it's going to be a great show. I'm serious. If you don't come to the live shows, A, I'm hilarious, and you're missing it. B, you're missing like 25% of the show, because right now on my screen, nobody who's not listening to the live stream can see this. I just have a picture of a game I just played. And you're like, oh, who cares about a picture of a game? Well, it's a picture of a lady, but she's a robot, and her chest is off. If you know what I mean? No, I don't know. I played this game last week called Cradle. It is on Steam, and I don't remember what it cost me. Hopefully it wasn't much, because it was one of the worst games I've ever played. It's a game, interesting setup, right? You go around and there's objects you have to find. Like, you have to look in the drawer and find a pot, and then you have to look in the other drawer and find a knife so that you can make some onion soup or something. That's, like, no joke. You have to, like, make soup. And then eventually you awaken this robot that was sitting in your room, and you have to go around and find different parts for her. And then at the end of the game, it just, like, I'm not going to say any story. First of all, the story didn't make any sense to me, barely, so it's not really worth saying or spoiling. But it's like, at the end of the game, it just ended. It's like, this is the end. I'll explain everything later. Plug. End. And then you're like, what happened? What was the point? And then there's the other part of the game that if you reload a save, like at least everything that used to be in your house or in your room, like all these objects you can pick up, at least they go back to where they started. But if you pick something up and you accidentally throw it, which you can throw these things in the game, they're like, it could fall behind the couch, literally, and now you're crouched down, looking under the couch, trying to reach the item. Real dumb. I mean, the puzzles piece of it was just not even fun at all. And then yesterday I played another game called Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, and this is another game, another puzzle game, and it was way better. Which isn't saying much, to be honest. It was way better than Cradle, but it was still really, really stupid. It's just, you've got this guy, and he's just talking the entire time about how he thinks he might be God, but maybe he's not God. How can he move things with his eyes? And then it's like, okay. And then there's chambers of puzzles, and every puzzle's like, super easy. That's like the easiest thing I've ever seen. Maybe I'm just spoiled. Because I did play the greatest puzzle game of all time, Portal, and the second greatest puzzle game of all time, Antichamber, and there's nothing else to do. I mean, people could say the greatest puzzle game of all time was Riven. Which probably would rank up there. And I'm not even sure. Like, Riven had these puzzles that were, like, real insane. You had to put dots on a grid in a specific place by looking at a map and then going to that location, finding where the dot was in real life, and then putting it on the... It's real complicated. I'm going to take a sip of beer. I meant coffee. So what else do you want to get into, guys? Okay, let's open my notes here. That's Nick's gaming update for September 5th, 2015. Come back next week for the next gaming update. U.S. Cellular sucks. They're a cell phone company. They decided that I've been with them for 14 years or whatever, and they've gone through all different iterations of stupid policies. And their golden age of... Okay, got an E. Got an E. Email. Their golden age of policies was when they went from contract to saying, you know what? We're just going to do away with contracts. We're going to reward people for staying with us by saying every 18 months, 24 months, you can get a new phone. Just keep paying us. That's it. And apparently that lost them money because 2 years later, they said, not 2 years, like 4 years later, they're like, okay, now we have contracts again. And I think I've talked about this on the show where I went in, I didn't have a contract, and they said, well, to get a new phone, you have to sign another contract. And I said, what? I wasn't having to do that before. They've just gone through every iteration of all the stupid things a cell phone company could do with their plans. And then, okay, fine. So they do away with contracts, but they keep reward points. Like, as you pay, as you stay with them, you get reward points. And with your reward points, you can buy accessories. You can buy upgrade accelerators. So say you're at 24 months, you can say you're at 24 months that you have to wait to get a phone. At maybe 20 months, you could upgrade it if you use some points to push yourself ahead 4 extra months. And then I think last year, or a year and a half ago, whenever I had to get this new phone, I used points to pay the offset charge of the upgrade fee to get the new phone. It's like you either can either pay $50 or pay 10,000 points or something. So I'm like, okay, points. Well, they decide that they don't want to do points anymore. So here we go. Our rewards program was officially discontinued at 11:59 p.m. Central Time on September 1st, 2015. We're now concentrating all our efforts on bringing the best experience to our customers through national coverage, best overall value, customer service excellence, and the latest and greatest device portfolio. Please check our frequently asked questions for more information. Why is the U.S. Cellular Rewards Program being phased out? At U.S. Cellular, we are working to meet and anticipate the needs of our customers and to provide them with this best experience. We provide national coverage and have a high-quality network, flexible plans, the latest devices, and excellent customer service. We believe investing these dollars in our customer experience in different and innovative ways will provide even better value for our customers. So they're basically saying we didn't want to do the rewards program. They were using an excuse before on the website that said, we took a poll recently, and we determined through our poll that service availability and high customer service are more important than rewards, which, okay, duh. If you give me 200,000 points, it's worthless if I go into a store and try to use it and there's no one there. Or it's worthless if my phone doesn't work. On the other hand, they deleted my rewards. All rewards eligible customers were impacted by this change. As of September 2nd, the rewards program was officially discontinued. Any unredeemed points have expired and all rewards accounts are closed. As a result, you're no longer able to use and access reward points. So this is fine. I mean, it's not fine, but this is I knew it was coming. So I'm like, I got 5,200 points, right? I don't have many because I used them to get a phone earlier. So I've got 5,200 points. I got to go in, use my points, right? I go into the store and she says, what can I do for you? And I said, well, you guys are deleting my points in a couple days. So I'm here to see what I can do with them. I bet you everyone's come in. And she says, no, I've never seen anyone. Just kidding. Hee hee hee. Everyone's coming in. You're right. And I said, okay. Well, I have 5,200 points. What do I do? And she says, oh, well, we don't have any cases for your phone anymore. We're all sold out. So I said, well, that's okay. I saw them online, so you can just get one in, right? They're my points. I can spend them, and you can ship it in. And she says, no, we can't do that because that means the warehouse is out too. And I said, what? And she said, well, you waited till the last day. And I said, okay. There was nothing that said you can't wait till the last day. There's nothing that said you're going to have until the last day to spend your points, but only on the things we have left on the shelf. And she said, I'm really sorry. And so I look at the thing and I find something on the shelf that's 5,300 points, and it's, I want it. It's one of those portable chargers, the best things in the world. So I say, oh, this is 5,300 points. I have 5,200 points. So can I just pay the difference, which would literally be like 50 cents probably in price? And she's like, no. And I said, what? Can you discount it, you know, because you're like deleting my points. Can you do me a little bit of a favor for being a loyal customer and like discount it from 5,300 to 5,200, literally less than 2% of the price? And she goes, no. And I go, do you have a manager that'll do that for me? She's like, no. And I go, okay, the chat says, I don't like that Hat Nick. I don't like Hat Nick. I don't think Hat Nick would help with Puke's car. Oh. Is that Andrew in the chat? I am only doing the hat because I didn't want to do my hair for the show. Like, I'm not going to wake up, put gel in my hair just to do a 9 a.m. show. So I'm doing Hat Nick. She goes, no, there's no manager that'll help you. In fact, come look at my email. And I go look at her email, and she shows me an email that is from her manager that says, last Saturday, there was someone with 140,000 points. I'm like, holy crap, 140,000 points. 140,000 points, and you let them buy something for 136,000 points. We can't be doing that. And I'm like, oh my God, well, I should have come in last Saturday when you were still doing that. And she said, I guess so. And I go, well, you know what? This is why people are switching to Republic Wireless. And she goes, okay, I understand your frustration. And I, yeah, you guys suck. And I hate you or something. I don't know. And so I yell at her for about 3 minutes. And then she's like, okay, let's look at the things that you can buy. And I go, okay, fine, I'll just take a generic audio cable. And here is the audio.
Well, I'll probably just grab one of your generic cables then.
Hang on, let me go back. I'm going to turn down the audio a little bit. That was way too long. Anonymous 1261 in the chat says, my hair isn't done. I look like crap. I'm working on the car. I bet you it's Andrew.
Well, I'll probably just grab. Don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably just grab one of your generic cables then. Because who cares?
I'm getting real mad. I'm getting real mad. And now I'm about to approach her on how they deleted the rewards program. I know. Everyone's like, Nick, this is just a lady that works there. I know. You're not going to solve anything by just yelling at the lady who just works there. She's just a clerk. I know. But I got to get audio for the show, right? I got to get mad at someone. Who am I going to get mad at?
So you guys deleted the point system, but there's no other like loyalty program taking
there's
its place?
There's an app that we came out with that you're...
Okay, and she's handing me the paper that says, I read this on another break show, where you install an app to your phone, and for every like 20 ads you look at, you get like a dollar off your bill or something, up to a total of $5 per month off your bill. Or you can watch ads for a cent or something. Who cares? Anyway.
I
know. This is a scam, obviously.
Okay, this is a scam, obviously, right to the clerk.
There's an app that we came out with that you're...
This is a scam, obviously.
I like $5.
Put apps on your... Put ads on your phone for extra money.
Skull candy headsets, too.
Okay, so let me skip ahead in the video, see if there's any more audio.
I get it. I completely get where you're coming
from. And then in general, I don't know. tell corporate I don't like their policies, I guess.
I get it. I completely get where you're coming from. And, you know, you're not the first time I've heard it, but, you know.
And here's the worst part. This isn't the worst part, actually.
Sorry about that, but we can check.
Okay. Here's the worst part, and the second worst part, is that once I pick the thing I'm going to get, which I finally spend $4,300 on a stupid cable. Here it is. This is probably a 10-cent cable from Amazon, but in the store, it's marked as $15. So, whatever. Got that for free with my points. But the point is, I even picked the cable, and like, say I went to Target, grab a cable, go to the checkout, boop, pay, done. I'm out the door. Now I got to sit there. She has to pull up my account. She has to type in that I'm getting a cable. She's got to take the points out of my account. It's literally 5 minutes to check out to get a free cable. I'm pissed. On top of everything, Panera doing away with the Chipotle chicken panini. It's gone in like a week. You've got like a week to get Chipotle chicken panini. Anonymous 1261 says, make your vid the big screen. Well, we could do that like this. How do I do it? I could do that. That's real poor quality anyway. But that's beside the point because we're just in the rant section of the show. But when we get to the news section of the show, the other screen is actually going to have videos and crap on it. This takes us to the news section of the show. I think. The NFL has appealed the U.S. District Judge Richard Berman's ruling nullifying Tom Brady's four-game suspension. So several News with Nick shows ago, we talked about how Tom Brady, for the New England Patriots, had gotten himself suspended because they said he was more likely than not going to be... We have a call coming in. What's up?
Hey.
Hi.
We should come here and do the news show.
Well, I can't get there real quick. So, do you have anything to talk about?
Not really.
How's it going? Point the camera at the car. Wait, you're real loud. Let me fix this. This is off the charts. Okay.
I can talk about this. I got one of those.
Shit, it's still way too loud.
I don't know.
Okay, hang on. Now go.
Okay, I got one of those things.
Oh, you got a tow dolly.
Yep, to try and get rid of that.
The Pontiac. Or
nope,
the Mazda.
The Pontiac's gone.
Oh, okay. Well, I think this is all stuff that'll go on the normal show.
Okay, fine.
Right?
Don't talk to me then.
I'll talk to you, but I think that if you talk about everything now, you'll run out of things to say on the normal show.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, how's Puke?
I don't know. I don't know where he is.
Oh, okay. You're working on the car without him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, thanks for the call.
All right.
I have to do a show. What do you want me to do? Just stare at your Skype screen?
Yeah.
Well, Andrew's Skyped in. I can see him on video. He's got a dog. And that's cool. And now I can hear myself on loop a little bit. All right, gotta go.
All right.
All right, that was Andrew calling in. Where was I? We were talking about the NFL suspended Tom Brady because he was more likely than not have had deflated footballs, right? So Tom Brady and his lawyers, and actually the lawyers for all players, because basically the way the NFL works is like we got the owners and the commissioner and we got the players. And they every several years they come out with what's called the collective bargaining agreement, where they all decide, okay, here are the penalties for doing X, Y, and Z. Here's the arbitrator for if you do X, Y, and Z. Now, I haven't read the collective bargaining agreement. I don't know what's in it. But basically, that's the gist of it. It's your contract with the league, and all players agree to the same contract through their agents or their lawyers or whatever. Basically, the NFL union. So, Tom Brady suspended for 4 games. They appeal to a court, like a real court. Because appeal processes are supposed to go through the NFL, and they did. Basically, the appeal process went through the NFL, and here's what happened. So Roger Goodell, the commissioner, originally set the suspension. Tom Brady says, I'm appealing. And Roger Goodell says, okay, I'll hear your appeal. And they're like, wait a minute. You just made the suspension ruling. You're going to hear the appeal of your own ruling? And he said, I have discretion according to our collective bargaining agreement, and I am going to use that discretion to hear your appeal. Let me see if I can find the actual quote. That's basically the quote, though. Can't find it. And so he hears the appeal, and he, of course, says, oh, thanks for bringing your appeal. Nope, you're still suspended. So they sue to court. They say, they bring it to court, and they say, they're not going to court and saying, Tom didn't deflate footballs, or he didn't know about deflating footballs. The argument that they brought to court was that the NFL, A, didn't give proper notification in the contract what the penalties would be for deflating footballs, and that they shouldn't be doing like an appeal to the same guy that did the original thing. Under player policies of 2014 schedule of fines, a first offense for other, quote-unquote, other uniform/equipment violations results in a fine of $5,512. And that is the only, that is their argument, and that's the only rule in the player policy that mentions anything about equipment violations. So a ball being equipment, if you had violated the ball by deflating it, your fine should be $5,512, not a 4-game suspension. And the court apparently heard these arguments and agreed with Tom Brady and the players' union that he was unfairly suspended, and that, so opinions on whether or not he did it aside, opinions on whether or not what the punishment should be aside, the court says the NFL acted inappropriately in suspending him. Tom Brady is back on the field to play. This is a big deal. This is millions and millions of dollars back in people's pockets because now Tom Brady, one of the best players in football, is playing again. It's not some small time like, oh, who cares? It's a football player. Like, that's a big deal to a lot of people. Big money. All right. The NFL appealed the decision. Commissioner Roger Goodell, in a statement released Thursday prior to the league's court filing, cited competitive fairness as a key component in the decision to appeal. We are grateful to Judge Berman for hearing this matter, but respectfully disagree with today's decision. We will appeal today's ruling in order to uphold the collectively bargained responsibility to protect the integrity of the game. The commissioner's responsibility to secure a competitive fairness of our game is a paramount principle. And the league and our 32 clubs or 32 teams will continue to pursue a path to that end. While the legal phase of this process continues, we look forward to focusing on football and opening the regular season. So, do you think courts should be involved in this private contract? Probably not, but that's the way private contracts work, right? You got a private contract. One party says the contract says this. The other party says, no, it doesn't. Basically, the NFL is saying the commissioner has all the rights to do whatever he wants. He can fine you, he can suspend you, he can fire you. He can kick you right out of the NFL if he wants. Collective bargaining agreement saying that's not the contract, you're not allowed to do that. According to the contract we agreed to, and then the court has to decide who's right, unfortunately. What a waste of court time. It really should be up, in my opinion, to the NFL fully. They should be allowed to run their stupid NFL however they want. If they want to say, I don't know. This has happened a lot. I mean, this is getting big, basically. The commissioner has had like 3 rulings overturned, mostly focused on beating wives, not deflating balls, but it's really getting to the point where they're going to have to rework the entire system, basically, and come up with a appeals process that people aren't going to bitch about. Well, they'll always bitch about it, but they're not going to, like, that'll hold up in court maybe a little bit better. Jared Fogle update. Jared Fogle pleads guilty to child porn charges. Former Subway pitchman Jared Fogle is expected to plead guilty to charges related to possession of child pornography. So this is an old story, obviously. He did plead guilty, and his sentencing is coming up on November 19th. So we'll retouch on this on November 19th. Now, tell me, audience, since you are avid... get that off the screen. Since you are avid fans of the news, how many girls did Jared Fogle molest? Is it 1, 2, or 14? The answer is 0. Who cares? He's still horrible. Don't cut this out as me defending Jared Fogle. So here are the official charges. Actually, let's look this up.
Jared Fogle official charges.
Jared Fogle is pleading guilty to... Ooh. Director of Jared Fogle's charity will plead guilty to child porn charges as well. His name is Russell Taylor. So Russell Taylor, this guy, and Jared Fogle were in on it together. Russell Taylor, the former executive director of ex-Subway spokesman Jared Fogle's charity, has agreed to plead guilty to charges that he used hidden cameras in his homes to make more than 400 child pornography videos, some of which he shared with Fogle. Now, you're going to say, oh my God, he made 400 videos of kids having sex? No. Maybe he had like 10 of those, which is, okay, that's still pretty bad. I don't know actually if he had any of those. Basically, he had videos in his, he had cameras in his house in like bedrooms and bathrooms. And so technically that counts. You're not supposed to be doing that. Now, how did all these kids get in his house though? Let's see. Prosecutors say Taylor secretly filmed 12 children, some of them relatives and others he knew. Ooh. Between March 2011 and April 2015, while they were in the bathroom, showering, bathing, changing clothes, among other activities, he shared with Fogle some of these images as well as commercially made child porn he downloaded from the internet. He's certainly very remorseful of the situation. His attorney says among those impacted are Taylor's own children. Ooh, the kids his kids go to school with know that's their dad. Oh. So the kids weren't videotaped. They just, like, people go to school with him, and they're like, your dad's like that guy with the cameras in the alarm clocks, right? Banks said that Taylor's interest in child pornography likely stemmed from his own childhood abuse. He did suffer years of molestation as a kid that he never dealt with or treated. That warps someone's mind. Taylor's own upbringing is not an excuse, it's an explanation. The U.S. Attorney's Office condemned Taylor's behavior, saying, adults who sexually exploit children by producing child pornography knowingly cause vast harm to their victims. In addition to prison time, Taylor faces supervised release for the rest of his life. Cannot possess any pornography. Wait a minute. Must get sexual disorder treatment, cannot have unsupervised contact with minors, and must register as a sex offender. So he gets released. He's like, man, I really can't control my urges to look at child porn. It's like, okay, no problem. We just won't give you any porn. That's not gonna work. And hey, how do you know? Like, he's gonna find it, right? All you got to do is go for a hike in the woods and look for crumpled up magazines. That's what I always do. So anyway, back to Jared Fogle. So Jared Fogle got some of these images. So he's charged with having child porn. He's charged with 12 victims that were personal victims of Taylor. And as part of Jared Fogle's plea agreement, he pays $100,000 to each of the victims. So that's 12, right? Two other victims ended up being 16-year-old and 17-year-old that he went to another state and paid to do Zooming with. So, who knows? Are they real victims? Probably. I guess. I don't know. Were they forced into it? Did they not want to? Do they have a pimp that was forcing them to Zoom with Jared Fogel? Anyway, the point is, they, you're not funny. Here's the point. Okay, I don't know what the point is, actually. The point is, he didn't do any molestation, so it's not funny to say he did, right? It's just like, oh, that's a funny joke. Man, Fogel's going to get a foot long in prison, and he was trying to get into smaller pants. Is this because he was so fat? Like, if you're a huge fat man, do you automatically become a creepy pedo because you're so fat? But then he became skinny, but you can't take the pedo out of the fat. You can take the fat out of the fat, but not the pedo out of the skinny. That's my philosophy. Andrew says, want to stream me working on the car after your news? You can talk to me while I'm under the car. Well, first of all, nobody's even in the chat. Nobody's watching. Like, usually I have at least Espresso D or Severman up in here for the Saturday morning shows. We got almost nobody. I found this hilarious video of Jared Fogel on To Catch a Predator. Right? And you would say Jared Fogel was on To Catch a Predator. They probably should have caught on a long time ago, if that's the case. Now, here he is commenting on a shittle. Okay, this is fine. Give me literally like 5 seconds here. Okay, here he is commenting on a To Catch a Predator episode.
These guys continue to fall for it every single time. There must be like 100 million episodes of the show, and these guys still come out.
I mean, look.
He was on an episode of VH1 or something where they do comments on another video. So he's basically commenting on To Catch a Predator, basically saying, I can't believe these guys keep falling for this. They're real amateurs.
These guys continue to fall for it every single time. There must be like 100 million episodes of the show, and these guys still come out.
Yep. Yeah, I've said it before. If you're a predator and you get to a girl's house and she says, I'm making cookies or I'm just changing my clothes, like run immediately because it's Chris Hansen. What if you were Chris Hansen? Like, that's all you're known for now, is just peeking around corners and catching guys with no pants on. Okay, is that the Jared Fogel update? That's the Jared Fogel update. He's going to get a foot long in prison. It's real funny. Make your jokes. And he's, I mean, is he a pedophile? Probably. Right? Everyone's going to say, no, he didn't have sex with a pedophile. He didn't have sex with a kid. But he also had child porn of youngers, right? So he's probably a pedophile, and there's text messages of him going to, like, basically he Zoomed with the 17-year-old, and then he and then he texted the 17-year-old and said, who else can you get? Do you have any friends that are, like, younger? The younger, the better, he said. If he says the younger, the better, I'm going to be like, okay, two, and then test him. And if he goes, wait, why am I putting myself in a situation where I'm texting Jared Fogel? Anyway, I'm going to be like, two. And he's like, okay. I'm like, gotcha. That's gross. Let's see if there's any new news. Yeah, he took a plea to pay $100,000 to each victim. Now, would you, if you're a child, would you be like, okay, I guess they have a picture of my butt, but I got $100,000, so that's pretty cool. As a condition of his plea deal, Fogel would be restricted to supervised contact or communication with minors upon approval of his probation officer. Supervised visits with his own children would be allowed only with pre-approval of their mother. Upon release from prison, Fogel would be required to register as a sex offender. Seems like an overreaction to me. I don't know. they really love to make these sex offenders like, you can't do anything. And I know they're horrible, right, everyone? But at the same time, it's like maybe they need help mentally. Speaking of people who need help mentally, girlfriend charged for encouraging boyfriend suicide. I think this is an older story, but it's coming out now more so because the text messages have actually been released in court. She messages him, "When are you going to do it?" Carter says, or Conrad. Okay, we got two people here. It's real confusing because they're both start with a C, and they both have six letters. Carter, the girl, "When are you going to do it? Stop and ignoring the question." Several times, Conrad hesitated, deep inside screaming for help, but Michelle was determined. Michelle Carter, I suppose. But Michelle was determined to be a grieving girlfriend, getting all the attention she craved for. What? Really? That's what they are saying she wanted? She wanted her boyfriend to kill himself so that she could be like, "Oh my God, I'm so sad." She messages him July 12th, 2014. "You can't think about it. You just have to do it. You said you were going to do it. Like, I don't get why you aren't." He says, "I don't get it either. I don't know." She says, "So I guess you aren't going to do it then. All that for nothing. I'm just confused. Like, you were so ready and determined." He says, "I'm going to eventually. I really don't know what I'm waiting for, but I have everything lined up." Carter says, "No, you're not, Conrad. Last night was it. You kept pushing it off, and you say you'll do it, but you never do it. It's always going to be that way if you don't take action. You're just making it harder on yourself for pushing it off. You just have to do it. Don't you want to do it now?" He says, "Is it too late? I don't know. It's already light outside. I'm going to go back to sleep. I love you. I'll text you tomorrow." She says, "No, it's probably the best time now because everyone is sleeping. Just go somewhere in your truck, and no one is out there right now. Because it's an awkward time. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. You can say you'll do it tomorrow, but you probably won't. Tonight? ? Love you." So she loves him, but she keeps going, "Why won't you kill yourself?" Then again, nothing in this text has said, do it. Like, go kill yourself. It just says, keep doing it. Like, he could be going in his truck to do anything. Like, just go in your truck somewhere and smoke your first cigarette or something. Okay, next day. "Are you going to do it today?" He says, "Yes." Like, in the daytime? And he says, "Should I?" She said, "Yeah, that's less suspicious. That you won't think about it as much and you'll get it over with instead of having to wait for the night." So they go back and forth. He's like, "Where should I kill myself?" And she's like, "I don't know. I'll just go park somewhere." And he's like, "How?" Well, not how. They had already set up how. He was going to buy a generator, small generator, and just let it run in the truck, basically. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, a couple days later. Oh, no, maybe later in the afternoon. He says, "I'm determined." She says, "I'm happy to hear that." He says, "I'm ready." She said, "Good, because it's time, babe. You know that. When you get back from the beach, you've got to do it. You're ready. You're determined. It's the best time to do it." Goes back and forth. She's basically like, "Do it." He says, "What? I'm going to." "Okay." She's like, "Stop procrastinating." He's like, "Okay, I'm almost there." And then on the day of Conrad's murder. Wait a minute. What am I reading here? After the exchange of these messages, Michelle left her house and talked with Conrad for 43 minutes, according to court documents. At some point during the call, Conrad got out of his car because he got scared, but Michelle told him to get back in. His body was found in his pickup truck. So he did it. He started a generator and breathed in the smoke. On the day of Conrad's murder, the article says, Michelle was already seeking for attention on Twitter. She said, "Such a beautiful soul, gone too soon." A little later, she added, "I'll always remember your bright light and smile. You'll forever be in my heart. I love you, Conrad." She even organized a suicide prevention fundraiser in his name. When the allegations of involuntary manslaughter were laid out, her Twitter account disappeared, and you can still see some of it on the Internet Archive. Okay. So she's getting charged, basically, with manslaughter for texting her boyfriend over and over again to kill himself. I don't think that's a thing. Although, like, what would Jim Jones be charged with? For giving someone, he said, here is a cup of Kool-Aid and I've put poison in it. If you drink it, you will die. Please drink it. You have to drink it. It's the only way. Drink it. But he's not forcing it down their throats. He's literally saying you have to drink it. And they were brainwashed, sure. And so was this guy who killed himself in the truck, let's say. However, we have no evidence how messed up the girl. Like, let's say there's two people. They're the same age. They're both in high school. The guy is all messed up. He's going to kill himself. What makes the girl not equally as messed up just on the other side, right? She could be insane. Let's see what this video says.
Troubling text, the focus in court as a teenager is accused of urging her friend to take his own life. As 7's Chris Anderson shows us, the defense calls it freedom of speech.
Did you want Conrad to kill himself?
18-year-old Michelle Carter allegedly urged her friend Conrad Roy to commit suicide via text message the week before he died last summer. The Plainville teenager is now charged with involuntary manslaughter. Prosecutors say she helped him come up with the plan and then berated him for procrastinating.
He texts her and says, "How was your day?" Her response back, "When are you going to do it?"
Reportedly going as far as getting mad at Conrad, writing, quote, "Well, I guess that I'm frustrated just because you always say you are going to do it, but you don't." In other exchanges, Carter wrote, "If you don't think about it, you won't think about failing. You'll just do it and then thinking you'll succeed."
It's inconceivable. I just don't understand how someone could do that.
She's very motivational. Let's give her that. Just don't think about it. Just do it. Don't think about failing. Think about succeeding. Because you know you're going to succeed. I don't know. Kind of like her angle.
A year ago, Roy, a third-generation tugboat skipper, got in his grandfather's pickup and breathed in carbon monoxide from a gas water pump.
He did it. I mean, if somebody tells me to kill myself, I'm going to tell them no.
Carter's lawyer is...
That was his lawyer. Or that was her lawyer, probably. Obviously not. He doesn't have a lawyer. That was her lawyer going, "If someone tells me to kill myself, I'm going to be like, no. Okay. End of story, I guess."
Urging a New Bedford judge to dismiss the case, saying she hasn't committed a crime.
"You may find the content of her speech repugnant, but the First Amendment protects that speech."
But prosecutors believe there's plenty of evidence showing Carter wouldn't take no for an answer and was on the phone with Roy when he died.
She's not just encouraging him. She is, through technology, taking part. It's as though she's there right next to him.
Well, prosecutors say when Roy got nervous during his suicide attempt, it was Carter who was on the phone with him and told him to get back into the car. The judge is taking this case under advisement. We should hear whether she will dismiss it by early October. That's the story live in the newsroom. Chris Anderson.
Yeah, obviously she's messed up. And even if she gets not guilty, everyone's going to be like, "Oh my God, you're that insane girl that wanted her boyfriend to kill himself." So it sucks for her no matter what. But it's like, eh. Like, people have told me to kill myself. And what if I did? Would that person be in jail? Probably not, because you can't be like, you can't write a note and say, "Julie the other day told me to kill myself, and I did." Like, she obviously went above and beyond to the point of saying, "Get back in the truck." So there's that. I get it. Still. So if you're outside of a truck and you see someone killing themselves inside the truck and you do nothing, is that a crime? I don't think that's a crime. But what if you walk up to the window and you go, "You can do it. You can do it. You can do it." Are you in trouble then? I don't know. So that's that. That is lady who wants to kill herself. Never mind. Wanted her boyfriend to kill himself so that she could start a suicide prevention hotline or something. All right, guys, we got some great news. Get Okay. You guys have all heard about these gays, right? Is what I was trying to say. You've all heard about this clerk in Rowan County. Rowan County has a clerk named Kim Davis, and she's very famous now for going to people, "You can't have a marriage license because I don't want to support gay marriage." And the gays go in and go, but the courts, they said we can. And she says, "Well, not here. You want to go get a marriage license? Go to the next county over." And that's that. Bye. And they go, "No, we do business here. We don't have to go to the next county over." So now I'm like, wait a minute. So you are allowed to go to the next county over, get your marriage license, and get married. So are they really being that discriminated against, or are they just lazy and don't want to go to the next county, or do they just want to make a scene? Because that's normally what these gays want to do. Now, you guys are like, "I've heard this story all week long. I don't care. Kim did fine. She got arrested," which, fine. Spoiler, she wasn't giving out marriage licenses, so she is now in jail on contempt of court, which is pretty funny. But she won't resign, and she won't be fired. The defiant Kentucky clerk who has doubled down in her determination to not grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples can't be fired for refusing to do her job. On Tuesday, after the U.S. Supreme Court turned her away, Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis again declined to grant these licenses, insisting that she was acting under God's authority. Kentucky law largely shields an elected official like Davis from being forced out of her post until next election, when the voters can boot her. She can be removed only through impeachment by the state legislature. That's a messy, lengthy process and has been rarely used in Kentucky. The simpler alternative would be for Davis to either issue the licenses or resign, but even the governor is legally powerless to make her resign. So she's an elected official under the law. She earned her position, and you can't just take it away because you disagree with her. Now, could she be impeached for breaking the law? Probably, right? But apparently they don't want to do that for some reason. I don't know why. There are other ways to penalize her for shirking her official responsibilities. Blah, blah, blah. It's a crime in Kentucky for a public servant to intentionally refrain from performing a duty imposed upon him or her by the law. The Kentucky Attorney General is currently considering an appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate whether Davis is breaking the law. Oh, this article was written before she was arrested. It must have been. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Some state lawmakers hope to stymie that legal process in anticipation of potential criminal repercussions for Davis and other religious objectors. They are weighing bills that would grant religious exemptions to public officials opposed to same-sex marriage. That's insane. Not that I don't... This has nothing to do with whether or not I think gays should get married or not. I think... I don't care, right? Marriage is not a religious... Marriage should be a religious union, and the state shouldn't matter at all. Nobody should get a state license. Hang on, I have a message I need to check. Okay. But to say that you're going to make a state law that gives religious exemption to officials, but the U.S. Supreme Court says you can't not give the licenses, how, like, what happens? Like, those are two completely opposite processes. They're at work. They're not acting as private individuals. They're acting as the government, wrote someone. That was precisely the reasoning the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit adopted last week when it ruled against Davis and told her she had little or no likelihood to win her case in her official capacity. Okay, so she's in jail. Here's a statement from her lawyer.
And her first and one of her last words to all of us as we were in there is, "All is well." Kim Davis slept well last night. She slept with a very good conscience, and she was in very good spirits. And I think she never envisioned herself to be here, but this is where she is. She is here because of her conscience. She's a prisoner of her conscience, if you will. She has a clean conscience, even though she's incarcerated behind these bars. One thing that Kim Davis will never do is imprison her conscience, even though she herself may be physically incarcerated.
She said she was a prisoner of her conscience, and then she said I can't say words. It's real bad for a person trying to do a show that can't say words. Then he said she will never imprison her conscience. So what is her conscience? So her conscience is a cage, and her brain's in the cage. But then he's like, she'll never imprison her conscience, meaning put that cage in a bigger cage? I don't understand. Is her conscience a cage that can walk around with her brain in it?
Number one, she has no intention to resign. She will continue to serve the people of Rowan County as she has done for so many years. And number two, she will never violate her conscience and never betray her God. So she is prepared for the consequences of those two decisions, and that's why she's here. Now, as it relates to the marriage licenses that were...
So she went to jail. Gays went back to the clerk office, and they got their thing signed. And then they were like, oh, my God, we can be together finally. Look at this piece of paper. We can be together. Gay.
Issued this morning. It is our position and the position of the clerk of Rowan County, Kim Davis, that those licenses are void. They are not being issued under the authority of Rowan County Clerk's Office, and they're not worth the paper that they are written on.
Okay, so they are claiming that...
Hello, I am technology that helps you build a port...
They are claiming, or at least her attorney is claiming, that these are not legal documents. But what makes it illegal, I guess what makes it a legal document is the fact that the clerk, the elected official, has signed it and authorized it. That's her legal authority, right? Like, who cares? She's just a person. How does her signature have any more weight than anyone else's in the government, especially if the court says you have to issue these? Here's a piece of paper that says you can get married. Like, what's the big whoop? But apparently there's a big whoop. Everyone's real pissed. So that's the update. She is in jail, and you guys already probably knew about this, but maybe you didn't know all the details because this is News with Nick. We bring you the news, and you know what? You've never seen, most likely, is you've never seen the actual video of the gays going in and trying to get their marriage license. And you know how I know you haven't watched it? Because there's only 1,700 views on this video. Here we go. This is going to be good, folks. We're getting into this. I found this last night. So funny. Oh, by the way, I was going to say, everyone's like, Kim Davis, what a loser. She's the worst person. Or is she the bravest person? Like, let's say that the law was you couldn't issue marriage licenses to gays, and you couldn't issue marriage licenses to blacks. Let's say that that was the law. What if she was in there issuing marriage licenses to gays and issuing marriage licenses to blacks? Everyone on earth would be like, oh my God, greatest person on earth. Who cares that she's breaking the law? She swore an oath to uphold the law, but she's breaking the law. Awesome. But she does it this way, and they're like, she swore an oath to uphold the law, and she's breaking the law. Boo. Put her in jail. So... don't be a hypocrite. Either make an argument one way or don't. She's standing up for what she believes in. I think it's real dumb. She shouldn't be. That has no place in the clerk's court. Just sign the marriage license and go away. You're not saving anyone, right? You're not... I guess... here's the thing. Like, there... if you sign a marriage license to a black or something, you're, like, helping someone. You're not helping anyone by not doing it. They're not going to be like, oh, guess I'm straight now. If that were the case, yeah, don't sign it at all, right, everyone? Okay, let's watch this video. So they are in line. There's two gays. So here's the characters that I figure out. There's the one main gay. And he's like, he's the alpha. He goes after things. And then there's the side gay that's just like, can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? I don't like that my life is a circus here, he says. Can I ask a question? That's what he keeps saying. So they're in line. There's a ton of media here. And they're about to go up to the desk. Unfortunately, this entire video is full of people taking pictures.
Nothing is as important.
Yeah, we're good.
They said, "How you doing?" The little she's not the clerk, she's the secretary. She looks up and goes, "I'm doing okay, thank you." Sitting right behind her Dell computer. Look at that. Dell. And so it's hard to tell in the video, but they go, "Can we have a marriage license?" And she goes, "No." And shakes her head. And she says, "We're not issuing marriage licenses today."
There is no more appeal. There is no more appeal. It's been ruled by the Supreme Court of the United States that we are equal citizens in this country and we deserve our rights.
That's the side gay, by the way. And he's starting to cry, obviously.
We deserve our rights, and she needs to come out here and speak to us.
Who's decided not to?
Okay, and then the main gay goes, "Who's decided not to issue marriage licenses?" We were told we're not issuing marriage licenses today. So she's not going to answer any questions, this lady behind the computer. She's just going to repeat. We were told not to issue marriage licenses today. We're not issuing marriage licenses today.
Who's your boss? Who should we contact? Who can we contact to get a marriage license? Can we talk to her? Can she come out right now and talk to us? Is she here?
So the main gay is saying, can she come out and talk to us right now?
Can she come out and face the...
She's doing reports right now, is what they said.
People that she refuses to serve. We pay her salary. That's right. We are paying her to discriminate against us.
I think I heard Dale in the background there go, "That's right." Dale? Are you in Rowan County?
By who? By who? Who's your boss? Who should we contact? Who can we contact to get a marriage license in Rowan County? Can we talk to her? Can she come out right now and talk to us? Is she here? Can she come out and face the people that she refuses to serve? We pay her salary.
That's right.
We are paying her to discriminate against us.
That's right.
I'm beyond being polite. I'm beyond feeling good. I feel like shit. Okay, that's what I feel.
Finally, whoever's taking this video actually pointed the microphone in the correct direction. This is the main gay. He's leaning over the counter right now. And he's mad.
Like, that's what we feel like. When you got married, did you have to come in here and be paraded in front of cameras?
So, I'm sorry you feel that way, but we are not issuing marriage licenses today. I'm doing as I'm told.
Tell her to come out.
Where's the clerk?
Tell her to come out and face the people.
That was Dale again in the background going, "Where's the clerk?"
That she is refusing to serve. We pay her salary to discriminate against us. That's
and
what we're paying
pay
for.
Yours.
And we pay yours.
I'm doing my
She shouldn't put you in this position.
Where's the clerk?
All right. So we can't play this whole video. It's 20 minutes. I think it's worth watching, though. Look it up. Denied a marriage license for the third time in Moorhead. Let's skip ahead. Okay, now they're just standing silently at the desk. They're having a staring contest. Oh, my God. The secretary and the gay are just having a staring contest. Oh, my God. I didn't see this part of the video.
It's okay.
I know it's okay.
And the main gay is going to the side gay. It's okay. Because the main gay can hold himself together a lot better. What are they waiting for? Oh, were they waiting to see if someone would go get her, maybe? So, all right, let's skip ahead. This is
there
where...
There is not another life.
Ooh, okay. The side gay starts to get mad again.
Conscience and something being
and hang on
the permission to come here today. I had to ask. because I do my job and I do what's within the policies at my university. This is terrible. This is terrible. And she wants to talk about conscience and something being seared across her conscience for the rest of her life. And she wants to talk about irreparable harm. Do you know what irreparable harm is? This is our memory of our marriage for the rest of our life. And if there...
Oh, please. You don't need a state to do a party for your wedding. Just go to your wedding.
Is not another life. If there is not another life after this one, what she has done is unconscionable. It's unforgivable. It's absolutely, absolutely ludicrous. Don't smile at me.
Okay, so he just said, "Don't smile at me," because the lady, the main lady, has now come out. It's like, okay, that secretary was the opener, right? And now the main act has reached the stage. Are you guys bored yet? Because this video is hilarious to me. Okay, here's the main lady, and he goes, "Don't smile at me."
I'm not being disrespectful to you.
You absolutely have.
Did you hear what she said? This is going to be hard to do audio on. I need a levelator. I'm not being disrespectful to you. That's what she says. Let's play it.
Forgivable. It's absolutely, absolutely ludicrous. Don't smile at me.
I'm not being disrespectful to you.
You absolutely have disrespected
us. Second-class citizens is what you're doing. You're telling us that we don't deserve the same rights that you do. That you've enjoyed your entire life. Would you do this to an interracial couple?
A man and a woman, no.
Really funny. If they're a man and a woman, black and white, that's fine.
How many times have you been married, Kim?
I just want you all to know that we are not issuing marriage license today.
Why?
Pending
in contempt of court.
What appeal is left?
Pending the appeal in the Sixth Circuit.
The appeal has been denied. Right. The injunction is the order that you're supposed
to. So how I understand the situation is there was an appeal to the court that said put a stay in place so that I don't have to do these marriage licenses. They said, no, you have to do them. And she said, I'm still not doing it pending the appeal. It's like they said very clearly what you have to do. And she didn't do anything.
To issue marriage license.
And we're not issuing marriage licenses today.
The Supreme Court denied your stay.
We are not issuing marriage licenses today. So
based on what?
I would ask you all to
why are you not issuing marriage licenses today?
Because
under why? Whose authority are you not issuing
under
licenses?
God's authority.
I don't believe.
Oh my goodness. So if you watch this, she goes under God's authority, and her whole face scrunches up and she turns evil for a second.
Under
why?
Whose authority are you not issuing licenses?
Under God's authority.
I don't believe in your God.
Did God tell you to do this? Did God tell you to treat us?
I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in your God.
I asked you all to leave. You are interrupting.
Okay, now there's a guy in the background.
You want us to leave.
Okay, now there's a guy in the background. He's just holding his hat. And he's walked up and he looks insane.
You're discriminating against me right now. That's what I'm paying for. That's what I'm paying for. I'm paying for this memory with my partner that I love, that I've been with for 17 years. What's the longest you've been with someone, that you've been married to someone?
I'm asking you to leave.
That was Dale laughing in the background.
I'm asking you to do your job.
You all are more than welcome to stay. Just push back away from the counter.
No, no. We're not leaving until we have a license. We're not leaving until we have a license.
Well, when you call the police, when they come, I will ask.
Side Gay says, we're not leaving until we have a license. Kim says, you're going to have a long day. Okay, so now they start yelling, and I think this is where Background Man gets involved. Like, Background Man holding his hat, he's completely bald, and he's about to start yelling.
Ask them to arrest you.
Do your job.
Call the police. Call the police. I will ask them to arrest you.
Do your job.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Everyone in this office should be ashamed of themselves.
They're pulling a Keniac. Shame to yourselves. And then he slaps the table. The main gay slaps the table. Side gay puts...
Is this what you want to remember?
Look at his hand.
Is this what you want to remember? That you stood up for this?
Side gay puts his hand on the guy's shoulder trying to calm him down. Like, it's okay, don't... Okay, now, I think now is where Background Guy comes in.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Did you hear that? He starts saying, amen, yes, sir. Here he goes.
Is this what?
It's kind of hard to hear because there's other people yelling.
You want to remember? Is this what you want to remember? That you stood up for this?
Amen. Yes, sir.
That your children have to look at.
Is this what you want to remember, that you stood up for this? And the man says, amen, yes, sir.
Is this what you want to remember, that you stood up for this?
Amen, yes, sir.
That your children have to look at you and realize that you are bigots and you discriminate against people?
No, not at
all. Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
God and God's word. My help.
God.
Standing up. I get it. I understand the point, right? You want to stand up for God's word. I don't think this is what he said. I don't think he said work in the clerk's of court office and kick gays out and don't sign their stupid paper, which is a construct that the government made up anyway, a marriage license. Amen, yes, sir. Standing up for God's word.
You discriminated against people?
No, not at all.
Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
God and God's word. My help.
God does not belong in the county clerk's office.
This is not a house of God.
It's so funny. Oh my God, it's so funny. Okay, there's some more things we need to do here on this video. I'm going to skip ahead. Kim comes back out.
But you're forcing your religion on other people.
Can you guys shut up?
So Dale in the back, I'm calling the guy Dale, the vocal guy in the back, starts yelling, "You're forcing your religion on other people!" And then the main gay goes, "Can you shut up?" And we're going to hear what happens. It's a real character development moment in this story of them all being in the courthouse.
Due to someone.
You do not understand what you're doing to people.
But you're forcing your religion on other people.
Can you guys shut up? You're the press, but shut up.
No, we're waiting for a
license.
Yeah,
we're waiting for a license.
He says, "Can you shut up? You're the press, please shut up." And they go, "No, we're here for a gay license too."
Can you guys shut up? You're the press, but shut up.
Did you hear that on an awkward silence? Can you guys shut up? Silence. Like a gay just told another gay to shut up. They're supposed to be on the same team.
I would never do to someone.
You do not understand what you're doing to people.
But you're forcing your religion on other people.
Can you guys shut up? You're the press, but shut up.
No, we're waiting for a
license. Yeah, we're waiting for a license.
I'm sorry, I thought it was the press.
You guys come up here too. Come up here. Tell them to their face.
Okay, here's.
He's already denied it a couple times last, so.
This is your job, man. That's all we're asking. Do your job, but you have another option you can step down. If your beliefs mean that much to you, resign. But does $80,000 a year mean more to you than your beliefs?
Okay, so. Oh, wait. Now the two side gates, the two main. Gays. The main character is having a side conversation here while the other gays yell.
If your beliefs mean that much to you, resign. But does $80,000 a year mean more to you than your beliefs?
No, my beliefs cannot be separated from me.
Then you should quit.
I cannot take my hat off in my vehicle.
Then you should quit.
So you gotta force your religion on us.
Why? Are you saying that our lives are worth your $80,000 thing that I didn't believe in?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so they do an argument for a while. It's just like, she's like, "I have my beliefs and things," and they're like, "You're forcing your beliefs on us."
Not everyone believes what you believe.
That's your choice.
You're creating a religion in this office, and there is
no
religion.
Yes, you are. You're making yourself the figurehead of this new church here.
This is not the 1960s. This is not.
Oh, wait. I missed her saying something pretty important. She says something like, "I am willing to face my consequences just like you'll face yours."
I'm willing to face my consequences as you all will face your consequences when it comes time for judgment.
We don't have consequences.
Plain and
I don't believe in.
Oh my God. She's like, "You gays are going to face judgment and your consequences." Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm going to skip ahead. They do an argument. It's not worth playing the whole thing. But then they yell. She goes back into her office and here, and the crowd turns insane.
Do your job! Do your job! Do your job! Do your job! Do
Wow, look at that crowd. Holy crap, I gotta rewind. And there's a man with a Superman shirt. Sorry. There's an Asian with a camera. Yeah, they got a huge thing, which they should. Like, this is the top story in the country, right? Well, that's that, folks. I'm bringing you the breaking news of this video, because this video was posted like 2 days ago. Still only has 2,500 views. I just refreshed it. I don't understand why this video doesn't have more views. This is like the video of the top story of the country, and I feel like I found a gem and I have brought it to you. Here's him getting interviewed.
You deserve better than this.
And I feel this is like a circus. This is ridiculous. It's going to take months and months. Even with contempt charges, it'll take months. You know it's not going to be instant.
We'll be here. We're not going.
Now, he's like, this is going to take months and months to have a wedding. We already went over this. I'm pretty sure they can just go to the next county, get their license, and be done with it. So they kind of want the attention, which is fine. You should do the attention. So Rowan County, better activists than New Hampshire for sure. They got that clerk. She's a great activist. Now you're going to say, what? She's an idiot. I'm like, okay. Yeah, but she's still being like a pretty ballsy activist. She has more balls than anyone in the state house in New Hampshire right now, as far as activism goes. That's pretty contentious. And then we got these guys that yell, shame on you, everyone should be ashamed of themselves. That's pretty much equal activism as anything I've seen in New Hampshire. Andrew says, I think the gays are all just a government conspiracy to distract us. They're very distracting with their showmanship and sequins. Yeah, I know. If you weren't all like going to the county courthouse or something. My God, still there. Yeah, it's impossible to hear anything. Basically, they just flooded the county courthouse and yelled at a lady. That was really one of the best stories I've ever done, I think. No, standing up for God's word. Josh Duggar checks into rehab. Why does Josh Duggar check into rehab? Do you even know who Josh Duggar is? Josh Duggar is a reality star. And why is he a reality star? Because he's the oldest child of Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar, the people who had 17, 19 kids and counting. And they were hardcore Christians. Like, they would never do a gay. They would never issue a gay license. It doesn't matter if they're all chanting, do your job. They have enough kids to beat up anyone that can try to make them sign a gay license. So Josh Duggar was found. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. AshleyMadison.com, a website that pitches itself as being for married people to go have affairity dares, right? So go hook up on AshleyMadison.com, either with another married, or if you're a married, you go hook up with a gay, non-married, or something. I don't know. Who knows? The point is, they got hacked. Who knows how they got hacked? I don't know if they did some sort of SQL injection. I don't know if they gained access to the central server. Somehow they got the database, right? And the database included email addresses, names, and how much someone had paid for the service. So if you got a paid account and your email address was found on it, you're kind of screwed. And I have to go to the bathroom. So I'm going to pause the show. And I will be right back, and I'm going to edit this out of the real one. All right, I'm back from the bathroom, and I was just in there laughing to myself because as I was doing bathroom things, I was just going to myself, amen, yes, sir, standing up for God and God's word. Did that just peak for no reason? Amen, standing up for God and God's word. I love it when people in church, the pastor said something, and then the guy is like, amen. I want to be like, please don't interrupt. The pastor is speaking. Don't amen him. I wonder what amen was in Hebrew. Shalom, right? Or l'chaim. What were we saying? Okay, Josh Duggar, the star, one of the star kids of 19 Kids and Counting, or whatever the name of the show was before that when they didn't have 19 kids, has been found in the hacked documents of AshleyMadison.com. So they're like, Ashley Madison has Josh Duggar in here, and he had a paid account.
Josh Duggar statement.
I actually forgot to pull this up. Okay, here we go. Reality TV star Josh Duggar is apologizing after being outed as one of the 32 million people who used the cheating website AshleyMadison.com. Hackers stole the customer information from the website and released it to the public this week, exposing something Duggar tried to keep secret. I have been the biggest hypocrite ever, he says. While espousing faith and family values, I have secretly, over the last several years, been viewing pornography on the internet.
32 million wannabe cheaters hackers posted online. One name stands out, Josh Duggar, the same Josh Duggar of reality TV fame, who earlier this summer was exposed for having sexually molested his sisters when he was a young teenager, including one sister who was just 5 years old. And now this, two active accounts connected to Josh Duggar on the website AshleyMadison.com, a site that proudly helps married people cheat by hooking them up with sex partners. Ashley Madison's slogan is, life is short, have an affair.
Don't wait up.
The address attached to Duggar's first account, called Josh the Man, matches the address of his Fayetteville, Arkansas home. The second account, Ready for This DC, appears to have been opened when he was
Ready
spending time in Maryland,
DC.
Leading a group that lobbied against same-sex marriage.
Okay. I have been the biggest hypocrite ever. While espousing faith and family values, I've secretly over the last several years been viewing pornography on the internet, and this became a secret addiction, and I became unfaithful to my wife. I brought hurt and reproach to my family, close friends, and the fans of our show with my actions that happened when I was 14 to 15 years old, and now I have re-broken their trust. Yeah, he's falling apart. So he was found on Ashley Madison. He came out and said, yeah, I did bad things. Josh Duggar's list of mistresses will continue to grow, predicts Amy Duggar's fiance. Who's Amy Duggar? Josh Duggar is losing the support of his family members left and right. On Tuesday, his sister Jenna Seawald shared a blog post with her followers written by her father-in-law, which labeled her 27-year-old brother as a pretender following his Ashley Madison cheating scandal. Now, Dylan King, fiance of his cousin Amy Duggar, is stepping forward, slamming the former 19 Kids and Counting star. In an interview, Dylan King speaks out about Josh Duggar's decision to cheat on his wife for almost 7 years. As most 19 Kids viewers are aware, the father of four admitted to being unfaithful to his wife in an August 20th statement, blah, 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 blah. He says, I'm sure it wasn't with just one person. Standing up for God and God's word. Here's a video of Josh Duggar at his wedding. Pizza lady's coming in with the pizza. That was the dad going, da 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 da. Wait, this must be like a weird, this must not be the real wedding because they're not dressed up. This must be their wedding party at the house with 20 pizzas.
We're hungry.
We've arrived. Oh, wow, pizza.
Oh, now we just got montage of kids grabbing pizza. Says it takes 15 pizzas to feed a Duggar family.
We're trying to make a skit of Joshua and Anna's engagement, like, replay thing. So we're dressed up in these dorky clothes with...
Okay, so they're... As part of the wedding event, they're dressing up as people who were there during the engagement, and including the cameraman and the boom mic kid. Is there anything good in this video? No. So here's the point. I knew Josh Duggar was going to be all messed up the first time I saw him. When he was 16 years old, he was on like 14 kids and counting. And I said, oh my God, can you imagine being 14 or 16 or whatever, and you're growing up in this family, and you're never alone, and you've always got to take care of your kids, and your dad wants you to always have church in your brain, and you're always getting in a bus. And I'm like, oh my goodness, the second he gets out of the house, he's going to be an insane man. And he was. Well, I mean, I don't know if he's insane, but he, like, obviously didn't do the things he said he was going to do. Oops, that's something else. Inside Josh Duggar's rehab. So he's gone to rehab now. He said, I'm sorry, I messed up. I did intersexual things or whatever. As previously reported, okay, sorry. Getting help, Josh Duggar will have to put a lot of effort in during his rehab stay. The former 19 Kids and Counting star will take part in Bible study, counsel groups, and more during his time at the Reformers Unanimous Center in Rockford, Illinois. So let's pull up that website. According to the center's website, patients seek help at the religious-based facility. Patients who seek help begin their day at 4:30 a.m. They also take college-level classes such as auto mechanics and financial management. Duggar, 27, will lean on his faith during the process too. Guests are obligated to type out a need or request from God, pray about the testimony, and share it with others at the facility. During this time, Duggar will also face his issues head-on with counsel groups and study the Bible. Each new camp director is trained in how to present the messages in convincing yet caring ways, which are intended to encourage the students toward program participation. A hearer that is a doer is always an overcomer. Duggar won't have too much contact with his family either. The controversial reality star can only make one call per week on Monday nights after finishing the first 10 days of treatment. Duggar's communication with loved ones will be monitored, and only after 60 days will he receive approved weekends with them away from the facility. They are not allowed to send him such as credit cards, music, pornography, or cash. Wow! Oh my god, that's a list, and then one of the things is way worse than the other things. He can't have credit cards, music, money, or porn! Or child porn. We love the Duggar family, Tony Richardson, director. Our hearts and prayers are with them. Here's what the website says. For individuals, informational website. Oh, here's the recovery store. We can buy things from the recovery store. Help, my loved one is addicted. Help, I'm addicted. See, click on which one? Break the chains of addiction. $0.00. How is this free? Is it a download? Add to bag. I love how websites always have to come up with new items because they don't want to say add to cart. Everyone says add to cart. So some websites say add to basket. Some say add to bag. Add to satchel. Add to backpack. Add to the cage that is made up of your conscience. And then you can carry it in your conscience cage. Here's our brand new resource guide, which has a listing of all our products. These products are designed for free download. Oh, here it is. I've got a free download on how to break the chains of addiction. This is real great. Gaining remaining fruit award system. I don't understand what that means. I think you buy like... It looks like it's a order list. Okay, this is getting real stupid. We're going to need to wrap up the show here. Is there anything else on my show notes that I need to do for the news show? because soon we will have a real show, and I'll have a lot more content for that, too. Blah, blah, checked out with my cable from US Cellular. That's about it, folks. Thanks for coming out to the news show Sunday morning. Wait, what day is it? Saturday morning news show. Oh, we forgot one story! It's a quick one. It is a quick one, folks. This happened yesterday. Texas teen rescued after trapped in high school safe for 3 hours. A 16-year-old is finally free after spending nearly 3 hours trapped inside a combination safe at his Texas high school. Firefighters were called to the San Antonio school around noon after the student somehow got inside the 2-foot-wide-by-4-foot-deep box. So let's imagine a safe. 2-foot-wide, 2-by-2-by-4 maybe? 4-foot-deep? So maybe it's a square of 2-by-2? District spokeswoman Michelle Jimenez described the safe as very solid, government-issued type from the 70s. As first responders worked to free the Edison High School junior, air holes were drilled through the walls and an air line was inserted into to increase oxygen flow. Was it American Airlines or Southwest? The boy's mother was meanwhile notified and given regular updates on their progress. Once freed around 3 p.m. local time, he was described as doing well and unsurprisingly happy to be out. Safe. Well, he was safe out of the safe. So this was just breaking last night, so we don't have much news on this. Maybe I can find more information right now.
High school safe.
I gotta find a news story that's updated more recently. Firefighters cut open high school safe after student gets locked inside. It was challenging, they said. We had our best guys working on it. Crews opened a hole and gave a student a pen light and a blanket to ward off sparks. Wait, they got a hole big enough so that they could shove a blanket through? Or do firefighters have really high-tech blankets that can fold, like, that can roll up into the size of a pen? The safe hadn't been used in about 15 years. The 2-foot-wide and 4-foot-deep combination safe is located in the ROTC section of the high school. We'll be working to find out how this occurred and we'll take steps to ensure it doesn't happen again. Well, first of all, if it does happen again, it's not a big deal now because there's air holes pre-cut and apparently a hole big enough to get a blanket through. So you could just, if you can get a blanket through, you can get like a hot dog through. So you could just be eating in there. I guess you got to go to the bathroom at some point, right? So, that's cool. So, don't lock yourself in a safe, and who knows? That sounds scary. 2-by-2-by-4? I'd be like, oh my God, I'm trapped in a safe. Get me out. Like, luckily someone saw him get trapped. Like, I'm sure that they were playing around. We don't know the information yet. I'm sure they were playing around. The kid's like, haha, I'm going to get in the safe. And then some other kid, like, kicked it closed, like, as a joke. Like, it'll never lock. It's, like, 30 years old. They kick it closed. But by the way, if it's so old, it's never been closed before. Because if it had ever been closed before, it would have been closed. They wouldn't have been able to get in it. And the fact that once he got in it, they couldn't get it open means that they couldn't have gotten it open. So I don't understand. I guess it was just never closed. Like, no one ever tried it. So someone gets in, some kid kicks it closed to be funny, and then they go, uh-oh, hello? Oh, I can't get it open! I can't get it open! I can't get it open! and then they have to call the government, and then he's on CNN. Because I doubt that he got in and then just, like, pulled it closed on himself, right? Probably. Someone else did it, and they're just like, okay, everyone, just don't say who did it. We'll just deal with it, right? Man, it's a good thing someone saw him go in, though. If you'd locked yourself in this, like, he would have been there forever. until someone realized, hey, that safe is closed and it's never been closed before. But that could have been like 30 years from now and they're like, oh my God, we found the kid who got lost. Okay. That's pretty scary. All right. End of the show. Thanks for coming out. And we will be ending the show with nothing. That was the last story of the show. Thanks for coming out to the Saturday morning edition of News with Nick. Thank you for subscribing to the PCL and listening. And you really, really need to be paying attention to the Facebook page so that we can do this live a lot more often and have more viewers. Okay? Cool. Bye.